few hands.
This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Welcome to Mission Sunday. I just want to share that when I was just wondering about, you know, contemplating what we can share on Mission Sunday, the Lord only gave me one scripture. And I've just been meditating on that passage of scripture over the last few days. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was in a deep, deep sleep. And what are you laughing at? And in that sleep, I had a really, really vivid dream. Have you ever had those dreams that you actually think it's real? I mean, sometimes you wake up and, oh, I had a dream. But I woke up in the morning and what I had dreamt, I thought was real. And it was about an order I got from one of my clients, one of my customers. And I went to work and I started to order the components I needed for that. And then I went looking for the paperwork of the particular order. And then it dawned on me, that was a dream. That was so real. And I'd already ordered the glass and stuff that I needed for it. But it was so real. I felt so foolish. But a couple of weeks later, he did place an order. And I was ready. But the thing is, you know, those real sort of almost tangible kind of dreams, they're pretty powerful. And I want to talk to you this morning about about John, the apostle, who also had a tremendous vision, and we know it in the book of Revelation, don't we? He was on the island of Patmos, which is not far off the coast of Israel. And I believe that he was there, not because he was on a holiday or anything like that. He actually says he was there because of the word of God. And I think that he was going to visit the seven churches in Asia. But while he was there, God gave him such a vivid vision, such a reality that he actually received words for these churches, I think, that he was going to minister to. Now, it's a bit like when we have a guest speaker comes into our house, and quite often they've been waiting on God, and they have a word for the house, don't they? They have a word they want to bring, and they want to bring it for Montbold Christian Fellowship. And I think John was in that kind of situation. And so he has this vision about ministering to these seven churches and what he should do. But then straight away after that, he has an even stronger vision, even bigger vision. And it's a vision of heaven, which we can read in chapter 4. But it goes further into chapter 5, and that's where I really want to pick up today. If you've got your Bible, then you can turn to Revelation chapter 5. We're going to be there for the whole morning. Customer, if you don't have your Bible, that passage of Scripture is in the newsletter this morning, so you can look at that. As I said, God's only given us this one passage of Scripture this morning. John's vision was so powerful for him that he was weeping. Just think about that. If you had a dream and you woke up in the morning and you were weeping because of the contents of that dream, that's how strong it was for John. He saw something that was so emotionally responsive for him that he started to weep, but not only weep, but to weep deeply. And what he saw was a scroll, just a scroll with writing on both sides. And he was weeping because he saw that there was no one that was worthy to take that scroll and to open it and to read its contents. He must have known, something in him knew that what was contained therein was of incredible relevance and importance to the church today. And then he saw one who looked like a lamb who was slain come and take the scroll from the right hand of the Father and take it into his hands. And John was just weeping there. Because that scroll, I think, contained the entire plan for the universe. I don't really know. You can read many, many different books about that. But on it were seven seals. And the fact was that there was only one person that was worthy to take that scroll and to open its contents, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Incredibly powerful vision, isn't it? Well, you have to imagine the reality of what it was for John. Now, in that passage of Scripture, we can read that there was no one worthy to open except the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And as he did begin to take the first seal, the elders that were there There were elders that were gathered there, 24 of them. They fell to their onto their face and they began to worship Jesus. I'm trying to build a picture of what is going on here. This awesome moment in God. Those elders began to worship him. They had harps with them, but they also had bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the church. And they began to worship Jesus and to really lift him up because of what was going on. And then these elders sang a song. Hallelujah. How'd you like to hear the elders sing a song? That was I hear that underwhelming response from you all this morning. Praise God. And they sang, "You are worthy to take the scroll to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God." This is a song they're singing. "With your blood you purchased men for God." Where from? From every tribe, from every language and people and nation. Every tribe, every language, every people and every nation. That's what Jesus' blood had done. He had purchased these things. Jesus purchased them to be a kingdom of priests. The song goes on. "You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign with you on the earth." Saints, today we are a kingdom of priests, and we are destined to reign with Christ on this planet earth. But not only us, God has selected people from every tribe, every language, every people group, and every nation to reign with us. What an awesome thing that one day, David, you're going to be there with a Kalahari tribesman ruling and reigning. And June, you'll be there with some fisherman from Borneo. Huh? Hallelujah. Or it may be a Muslim from Yemen. You know, North Yemen, population 8 million, has only got like 20 believers in the whole nation. But there's going to be people from that nation ruling and reigning with God. In fact, the elders sang that there will be people from every tribe, every tongue, every language group, every nation ruling and worshipping along with us, the church. What an amazing picture. Can you imagine it? You can't imagine it. Brother, broaden your vision. It's the reality of it. It's going to happen one day. Converted Muslims, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists are all going to be there, ruling and reigning. What John saw was the complete picture, the complete plan of redemption. That's what he saw, the complete picture and the complete plan. Come with me over to the book of Daniel. It's the companion book to the book of Revelation. And in Daniel 7, if you don't have your Bible, I'll read it to you. In verse 27, that's Daniel 7, 27. "Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to whom?" To the saints. That's us. You're not excited about that. "Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and the rulers will worship and obey you." If you turn on the news today and you see what's happening around the world, you see leaders who are so corrupt, so lost the plot, that these ones are going to bow down to the church, saints. They're going to bow down to the ones that have rightful authority, fitful authority in the end times. And that's us. That's you and me. That's the Kalahari tribesmen that give their heart to the Lord. That's every nation, tribe, and tongue. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing. But the picture is not yet a reality. It's an incomplete picture. If I showed you a picture of the throne of God today, there would be spaces. You know where you see those pictures of a crowd and they've cut out the head and they've put a question mark in? Like those sorts of pictures, like these people, who are these people who are missing from this? Well, there are people missing from this picture this morning. It's not complete. It's an incomplete picture. And Jesus cannot, will not, open that scroll or its seal until that picture is made complete. Hallelujah. All of us want Jesus to come again. Amen. All of us are waiting for him to be revealed to this planet. Even now, come Lord Jesus, almost the last line in the book of Revelation. But the picture is incomplete, and so Jesus cannot begin to roll out the end time seals and all those colourful horses and everything else until people from every tribe, every language, every people group, and every nation are represented there. Praise God. This is not a message about the unsaved this morning. I'm not talking about unsaved people. You know, if we walk out of these doors, we're going to be surrounded with unsaved people. You don't have to go very far to find them, do you, Iris? They're everywhere. Just go down the street this afternoon. You will be bumping into, rubbing shoulders with unsaved people. This nation is full of unsaved people. The planet is full of unsaved people. Many, 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 many millions of them have had an opportunity to hear and reject the gospel. That means that we stop ministering to them. No, the church does not stop ministering to the unsaved. That's what we're called for. But we have to be very resourceful in how we minister to them. Is that right? You know, some of the plans that this church has are very, very carefully thought out to reach into the lives of unsaved. And we all know unsaved people. We have people in our families who are not saved. We want to reach them. But this end times picture is not about them. It's about the unreached. Those that have never had the opportunity to reject or accept the gospel. And I know this sounds bizarre, but in 2013, when you can turn on the idiot box and see the most amazing documentaries on the most amazing places on this planet, there is still 6,000 unreached people groups. 6,000 of them. I don't know how they arrive at that number, but there's that many unreached people groups. That means that there is no one amongst them to tell them about the gospel. They don't have God TV. There's no scripture portions. There's nothing. There's no church. There's no pastor. There's no one amongst them. But that picture will not be complete until at least one from every one of those 6,000 has given their heart to the Lord. Because that's what the elders saw and sung about. People from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every people group. Hallelujah. That's the unreached. They're like the unsaved. They are unsaved. The thing they share in common with the unsaved is that they have been purchased with the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. They have been bought with the price. The same price that Jesus paid for us, he's paid for these unreached people. The ones that I know are you've heard it before, the Khoya, the Goti Khoya, the Gond. Groups that we know of that are relatively unreached. They've been purchased. Now, when you buy something, you expect to take possession of it, right? Now, who goes to a shop and says, I really love that dress. I'll just give you the money. Thanks. You expect to take possession of it, don't you? Jesus expects to take possession of that which he has purchased. That's his goal. But you know what he wants, how he's going to do that? Jesus is not going to go into the unreached groups of the world. He's finished his work. He's paid the price. It's there for us to collect. Paid for. Duly signed, sealed and delivered. Just no one there to collect it. I find it astonishing that in 2013, with all the technology, with all the advancement in travel and everything else, that there's still 6,000 people groups that have not had the opportunity to accept or reject Jesus. It's always been on my heart that if 6,000 churches, and there's many, many more than that, each one just took on one of these people groups, man, we'd be playing our harp in heaven right now. Hallelujah. I don't mean that as a kind of a joke, but the reality is, once they're reached, that picture is complete. And when that picture is complete, Jesus is released to fulfill the book of Revelation and to come again for his church and his saints that we can rule and reign along with him. The elder's song shows the complete picture. If you go back to Revelation in chapter 5, there's another song. Down in verse 12, there is a song that the angels sing. Not just a handful of angels. The Bible says that there are thousands, thousands upon thousands, 10 times 10,000 angels. Anyone calculating this as I talk? This many angels is a lot. More than the MCG on grand final day. Much, much, much more. And they are encircling the living creatures and the elders, and they are singing a song. Can you imagine that? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power. Now listen to this. And wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Worthy is he to receive power. Jesus wants to receive our power. He wants to receive our wealth. He wants to receive our wisdom. And he wants to receive our strength. But here's the irony of ironies. He's already given it to us. Right, Karen? I love it when Karen says, you know, I lay down before you life and death, and I want you to choose one, and the one I want you to choose is life. Okay? Jesus is waiting to receive these four things, power, wealth, wisdom, and strength, and it's already the possession of the church. That's why the angels are singing it, to remind us, to encourage us what we have. They don't have those things to worship the Lamb with. They're angels. They're there doing their thing on song. But we've been given these four things. Actually, there's three more things which I've already spoken about, but they're different. The other ones are honor and glory and praise. That's what Jesus is worthy to receive. Now, let's just break this down. I don't know if this is theologically correct or not. I didn't look into any concordances or anything like that. I just let the word minister to me. Now, if we have power, wealth, wisdom, and strength, that's the sort of stuff that we need to reach unreached people. Amen? We need power. And Aunt Paul needs a powerful four-wheel drive. We need wealth because it's expensive. More so, we need wisdom. It's not wise to go into some places without strategies and plans and understanding and prayer and everything else. And we need the strength, the conviction to do it. But also, we need to honor God, to glory him, glorify him, and to praise his holy name. This is the fuel which powers the other four points. A church that will honor him, that will glorify him, and that will praise his holy name. Hallelujah. That's what God is looking for. We need those seven things if working together if we're going to reach the unsaved people. Hallelujah. These are the church's seven tools of trade. The first four tools are blunt if they are not sharpened by the latter three. All your wisdom, strength, power, what was the other one? Are useless, worthless, if they are not sharpened by our honor, glory, and praise of him. Hallelujah. These are the paintbrushes that will complete the picture. And this brings me to another song in Revelation, just a little bit further down, picking up in verse 13. Then I heard every creature in heaven and earth and under earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing. Hang on a minute, let's backtrack. Then I heard every creature in heaven, every creature in heaven and on the earth, under the earth and all that are on the sea. That's a pretty all-encompassing picture, isn't it? It pretty much gathers in everything that's ever been created by God. And what they're doing is they're singing a song. And their song is, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, praise, honor, and glory and power forever and ever and ever. To him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Can I hear at least one amen? Thank you, church. In Revelation, the four living creatures said amen. When they heard that, they said amen. And the elders, they fell down and they worshipped the Lamb that was slain. Hallelujah. You know, the elders contain in their hands the prayers of the saints. When they sang that song about the final redemptive picture with people of every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people group, they had in their hands these bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, these prayers are your prayers. They're our prayers. They're the prayers that have gone up like incense, like smoke, to the throne of God, requesting that God move us, move amongst the nations, equip us to reach the nations, touch us to have a word in season for the unsaved, empower us, embolden us that we would leave our comfort zones to go into the four corners of the globe or whatever it may take, to give of our wealth, to give of our power, whatever it may mean. All of this is contained in these vessels. And the Bible says that in the end times, these vessels will be poured out. God will pour them out upon the planet, upon this world, and there will come a rain of answer to prayers. It's going to be, we struggle now. You know, we don't see the full vision. We look through a glass darkly. But in the reality of the situation, there is going to come an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There is going to be an outpouring of answer to prayer. And as you are there worshipping him, you will see the unsaved. Many, many, many of them that choose to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the reality of it. We can be instrumental in working with God to complete the picture that he has. We heard it today at communion. We are a kingdom of priests. Today in the press, you wouldn't want to call yourself a priest, would you? This is just the enemy that's really trying to darken that whole office of priesthood. But the reality is that we are a church. A priest is one that ministers to God. Ministers to God. How do we minister to God? It's not difficult. We heard it in that song. To receive power and wealth, wisdom and strength, and honor and glory and praise. That's what a priest does to minister to God. We are in a unique position as a church. We are supporting a man and a woman whom we know have reached at least three of those unreached people groups. Amen? The Gond, the Koya, the Koti Koya, listed in the missionary almanac as unreached. Anandapur has planted at least 65 churches amongst them. He hasn't blown his horn. The information is not readily known by the evangelical mission organisations because he's not about that. He's about the task that's been set before him. And as we support him, we are hand in glove with reaching the we are hand in glove painting that picture with the question marks, painting in the faces of those that are missing, from those 6,000 that are missing. We're one tiny little church. Look around you. And we're reaching three. Right? That means we only need 2,000 churches the size of Mombok Christian Fellowship, and Jesus is here again. Praise God. We're doing it, church. The man reached, which of most important part of the kingdom is completing that picture that around about the throne of God is every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every people group worshipping him. Oh, hallelujah. Praise.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombok Christian Fellowship.